China's economy slows down, will the rest of the world follow? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China's official growth figures out today show the economy slowed slightly in the second quarter, down to 6.7% from 6.8%. Now, some economists have calculated the slowdown is bigger. Either way, it has implications for the rest of the world. Ginny Yan is chief China economist at China Market Strategy.
I wouldn't call it a slowdown at all. If you talk to the official Bureau of Statistics, they would tell you actually in the first half, there's no slowdown at all. That said, if obviously global trade starts to slow and also the recoveries, whether it's in the US, whether it's in Europe, start to wane a little bit after the initial recovery stage, that will obviously cause a lot of headache for policymakers in China.
Now, the Trump administration last week threatened more tariffs, another $200 billion in Chinese goods. I mean, how much is that trade war already weighing on these figures? Is it possible to say?
On these actual figures, there is very, very minimal impact from the tariffs itself. I would say the tariffs itself is more of a psychological hit to confidence. Now, business confidence has been very strong in China for a while now. So obviously, it's starting to spook the markets a little bit, the fact that we're having the threat of increasing amount of tariffs, especially as China embarks upon this transition from investment-led towards consumption-led economy. That confidence wane of consumers is going to be a problem.
Now, China and the EU are holding a summit today in Beijing, and the European Council President Donald Tusk has called on leaders to avoid a trade war.
It is a common duty of Europe and China, America and Russia, not to destroy this order, but to improve it. Not to start trade wars, which turned into hot conflict so often in our history, but to bravely and responsibly reform the rules-based international order.
Donald Tusk speaking there. Now, this warning, how seriously do you think the Chinese will take it?
For the Chinese leaders, they see exactly the same risks, really, on the back of a trade war. This is why they have also been very vocal to try and avoid a large-scale trade war. But also, I think both the EU and China have some common grounds in terms of trying to play by the rules. So the importance of the WTO, I think that sort of global institutions, a global set of governance is very important to move forward, particularly now in the global macro economy, we have increasingly a number of very significant players. It's not one dominates all, but several dominates the overall picture.
Ginny Yan, let's do the numbers. Asian stock markets mostly fell on the back of those weaker Chinese figures. European markets are slightly up. Meanwhile, oil prices are down as concerns about supply disruptions eased. It follows a week of shortages in Libya, a labor dispute in Norway, and unrest in Iraq, which all helped to push prices up. Now, one of the world's biggest air shows begins today in Britain. The Farnborough Air Show features more than 1,500 aerospace firms showcasing everything from luxury jets to lethal drones. And trade tensions are big on the agenda. Boeing's chief executive, Dennis Muilenburg, has been speaking to the BBC about his concerns of President Trump's trade policy affecting sales.
The aerospace industry thrives on open global trade. We're a kind of industry that raises the economic value around the world. We benefit multiple countries when we have open, free-flowing trade, as long as we're playing by the same rules. We're talking to leaders around the world, and we're hopeful we'll find productive solutions that are alternatives to tariffs.
Mr. Muilenburg said there's concern about Brexit, too, but it doesn't change Boeing's UK plans.
Well, we do have a concern, again, to make sure that we continue to see free flow of goods and services. That's important to the aerospace sector. Now, how that plays out in Brexit decisions is still to be determined, but we do think it's important that we continue to have certification authorities that can span across all of Europe. We don't see any of the ongoing discussions changing our investment profile, though, in the UK. We've doubled our presence here, both in terms of Boeing presence and supply chain presence over the last 5 years. And we've got a committed investment profile going forward, regardless of how Brexit plays out. It's important for us in the midst of these trade discussions to maintain that long-term view.
And he spoke about the next leap forward, hypersonic planes.
A hypersonic aircraft is an aircraft that flies at what we call Mach 5, or five times the speed of sound. Now, it's still a technology and business case leap forward to achieve that, but we're seeing promising returns on some of the technology investments we're making. And the idea here would be that in the future, you could connect any two cities in the world in a matter of 1 to 2 hours. Now, imagine how that would change the global aerospace sector, how it would change travel dynamics for the future. I do think it's going to happen. I think the technology is doable. We're making clear and rapid progress on that front. But the future also holds new urban transport capabilities, urban taxis, flying cars, if you will. And the future includes low-Earth orbit space travel. Those are all things that will happen, and they're going to happen faster than many of us think.
Hypersonic planes, maybe hypersonic jet lag as well. Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg there. Finally, they might consider themselves masters of the financial universe, but Goldman Sachs' World Cup model was a dud. They said Brazil would beat Argentina 3-1, no mention of France or Croatia. Remember, it's not dissimilar to how they make investment calculations. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.